check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am J Mike, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 334 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will, all four of us, that's what I love to see. We are limping out of week two. We're not even limping. We are being dragged. Carted off from week two.
Way too much news for Frank in the chat to give us this week.
yes. I and as you can see, I am stalling him getting there because I don't want to be reminded of all. And it's really funny because, you know, what isn't important enough to be on the news because it was a 1 week thing. And if anyone is a patron or watches the DLF trade show, especially because that always for years, Addison made fun of me for having a blank background behind me and then slowly taking forever to hang up anything. On Saturday, I finally hang up my Evan Engram signed jersey. And then Sunday, he pulls a hammy in warmups and misses the game. So, my bad, everybody. Big old my
fault,
bad.
Russ.
That's on me. That's on me. All right. Well, before we do get going, as Frank types Evan Engram's hammy injury into the news, I love it. Thank you, Frank. J-Mike, why don't you remind everyone who you are, if you ever felt like doing stuff, what you did, and where they'd be able to find it if you did it?
Yeah, buddy. The name is John Michael, J-Mike for short, and super grateful to be back with y'all. Once upon a time podcaster, part-time podcaster, one half of the Open Bar podcast with the incredible Gabe Gearing, Bun G, aka
when's the reunion show happening, J-Mike?
I know we still got to coordinate that. I'm still seeing him in November, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I'm pretty pumped for that. And also one half, one third of the Dynasty Dummies, and with obviously Zach Reed, who folks have finally started to put the respect on his name these days. So I'm glad to be able to call him my brother as well. And just grateful to be behind the mic once again.
Yeah, I was giving J-Mike a little bit of a push because I don't know how long you people listening have been around, but J-Mike for the Dynasty Dummies used to do the Dummy Blitz every Tuesday where he would do, what was your tagline? Something about 15 minutes.
15 and out.
15 and out, yeah, and it was the entire week's worth of games catch up, and it was just so entertaining. And plus, I don't have the attention span to be able to watch every single game, and so like J-Mike, just you can hear the tones coming out of this man's mouth when he's speaking. So just imagine that for 15 minutes straight, and just giving you some beautiful questions to think about, some amazing catch up on games, and just making it so I don't have to actually pay attention to other things. Like, it's great. Like, I don't have to do work and I get to listen to my friend speak. It was great.
That is far too kind. And I remember those days, Russ, where the kids were a little bit younger and you had just a little bit less to do. And you felt like you'd be able to really, really put that NFL Plus premium to work and run through a whole bunch of stuff. Those were the times. Those were the good old days.
My NFL Plus premium has gone from let me rewatch games to, okay, at least I get Red Zone now.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man. And me complaining after week one where it wouldn't work, so I was stuck watching the Giants game, I logged in 45 minutes early. It's 12:15, and I'm like, I'm logging in now.
Just let it just run. Sure. It's going to run all day if it has to.
Yep. I'm not watching the Giants if I don't have to. Even though that game was actually pretty exciting. All right. But it is time. Let's do it. Let's get into it. And now, with the news, Frank in the chat.
Hi, guys. So we'll start with the non-injury thing to start. Bryce Young was benched. That was something. Apparently, this came less than 24 hours after Canales committed to Bryce. So this smells like Tepper to me. So where do we go from here? We'll stop on this one for a second, then we'll get to the rest of them.
We cried because I traded for him like a week ago. So
I forgot. I wish I could, like, I always wish I could remember who said things that I remember. But so, like, I'm hoping this is what they did with Tua. Like, remember when they benched Tua a couple games in for, I think it was Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
But, like, they knew it wasn't because of Tua. They knew the situation was just so not ready for him. I'm hoping that's what this is, because the man just deserves
keep him alive. Shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it seems insane to me that this would be permanent, because, I mean, you're 1 year in and they have, like, no picks. Like, don't they have or
they have the number one that they're
they do get their pick back next
the
year.
The Bears have their second,
but
they have their
in a draft that is does not have a premier quarterback in it.
Like, so, Carson Beck is the number one QB. Yeah.
I don't think you want to be investing your probably overall number one pick in any of these QBs next year anyway. So it seems foolish to just bench him permanently. So I think it probably will be that kind of scenario. And then once Dalton gets killed behind that line and horrible team, then they'll probably put Bryce back in.
Yeah. I think it feels as though with Canales, just like you said, after a day where we're pretty confident Bryce is just going to continue to be the guy, Tepper doing Tepper things, which is not a good thing. That being said, Bryce looks broken right now, and it makes my heart sad seeing as how good of a player in and out of structure that he was at Alabama, and seeing who he is now after last season's debacle of a horrendous offensive line. And even this week when he had time, still not really pulling the trigger and doing much. And we're not going to sit here and act like the weapons are some amazing feat of amazingness. Yes, it's improved from last season, but still there's so much that's dysfunctional right now in Carolina, and I don't feel good about what the way forward looks like. Because the thing is, just like you said, Rocky, if Andy Dalton comes in and stinks up the joint, they'll probably eventually go back to Bryce, but what are we really doing aside from giving him a breather to ideally get his bearings, continue to watch and maybe learn, and maybe that helps to something to click. But also, if Andy Dalton does go out there and do well, then it's like, okay, Bryce, look at him. He's not a guy that's going to get it done. They paid all this draft capital to be able to go get a guy who's obviously busting after a season and a half, which isn't totally fair. But the one start that Andy Dalton did have last year, he went for over 300 yards. So it'll be fascinating to see how the rest of this season plays out and if they actually have a plan for Bryce, or if this is simply them trying to mitigate and cut losses early on.
Rocky, while you're sad about your Bryce Young trade, this is going to be great for all your Deontay Johnson shares.
I know. Yeah. I was thinking, as Jay Mick was saying, and I thought of this, you know, when I heard the news, is that could be a problem, though, is that Andy Dalton's never been a great fantasy quarterback, but he's always been a very competent real life quarterback, and can support weapons. And if he just performs decently, like Jay Mike said, like, what does that do for? Do they keep him in there? I mean, what if they win a game or two? I tend to think they're still not going to win. So Dalton's performing well, I think it'll, you know, if they're 0-8, it gives them an excuse to go back to Bryce. But I do think you're probably going to see, like you said, Russ, more production from the players there under Dalton than you did with Bryce, for sure.
Yeah. If I'm the, you know, I was thinking of some teams where this could happen, but if I'm the Raiders or the Giants or someone like that, I'm calling Carolina and seeing
absolutely
what they'll ask for him. Because if you can get Bryce for even a second, like, where do I sign for that? At least give him a chance. All right, this one's hard, but we have to do it. Tua got concussed again, and he's been placed on IR. He says he's not retiring, but the Dolphins put him on IR so they can he can talk to, like, neurologists. And this is super scary and freaky, and the fingers thing gets me every time.
I was going to say that, too.
Yeah. So Skylar Thompson's already been announced as the starter for this week, but they signed Tyler Huntley, who goes by Snoop now. I had no idea that was a thing, and I don't know when that started. But Tyler Huntley, and I'll let y'all go after this. Tyler Huntley feels like something here because Tyler Huntley did not lose the Ravens games. And I think Skylar Thompson can lose the Ravens games or the Dolphins games. So, J. Mike, what do you think on that? What do you think about Huntley and kind of the weapons here as a whole?
What in God's green earth gives the Dolphins the confidence to even have Skylar Thompson as the number two coming into this season? Knowing the aspirations that they have, knowing how excited they are about what they have specifically within that offense, and even how admirably Mike White once upon a time had played previously as a backup in a short stint. What even was the point to have this guy be someone that comes up behind Tua unless he's really showing them something behind the scenes? Because
they cut Mike White too, to your point, right? Like, they cut him. Yeah.
And so I think more than anything, I'm confused. But then the other part of that, and I don't think I'm really answering your question at all, Frank, in the chat. The problem becomes, why wasn't Tyler Huntley already on a team? Why wasn't he somewhere backing somebody up if he's one of the 64 best quarterbacks? Why didn't somebody have him in camp somewhere on a roster? So, yes, Huntley flashed and was fun in Baltimore in several instances, ultimately making obviously far too many mistakes to really parlay that into longer success. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this season, if Tua's out for a longer period, that Huntley does give you some goodness at some point, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not thrilled either way with my many, many Tyreek and Waddle shares. And I mean, hey, let's say my few Jonnu Smith shares still. But I would prefer Huntley over Skylar, if anything, just because it's a more dynamic offense is really what it turns into. And when Lamar got hurt, regardless of how the team was, fantasy wise, the pass catchers were still producing pretty well. Like Huntley
made the Pro Bowl that year. If you forget, like, it was like seventh on the list, but he made the Pro Bowl. I mean,
I loved when they called him Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley. It's like, all right. Now we're just that's more of a statement on the Pro Bowl than it is Tyler Huntley right now. But like he'll be making it more exciting than anything else, and that's necessary. Like, I think we're more likely to get that splash Tyreek play out of Huntley than we will out of Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I don't really have much to add. I Huntley is clearly to me the better choice for fantasy.
Yeah, and then the last one we'll kind of stick on, and then we'll do the rest of them kind of rapid fire. But Pacheco fractured fibula, which just sounds like it really hurts. I think it's one of those long bones in your leg.
Part of your leg is not
there. So further testing is being done, but they're putting him on IR. He's expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. So the backfield as it stands right now, Clyde's still on PUP with depression. P. Ryan is there as the McKinnon, and Steele is there, and they signed Kareem Hunt today. So what do we do? Are we on Steele? Are we on P. Ryan? What do we do? J. Mike, help me out.
you help me out, Frank. You're asking an awful lot of me with these last couple questions. I'm going to ask you some questions. I don't know. You'd like to think that all these guys have an opportunity to at least get some sort of consistent market share. Not that anybody's going to be some bell cow of sorts But we've seen P. Ryan be good in spot duty. Obviously, they're excited about Carson Steele. We've seen Kareem Hunt do really good things in this offense in the past, even though he's probably well past his prime.
Like 100 years ago at this point.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's what it feels like for sure. And then, of course, whatever happens with CEH when he comes back, if you're still keeping the light on for him, Motel 6 style, not a sponsor. But I do think that it's worthwhile to somehow, some way, take a flyer on anybody that you can that's still available at this point. Because we know that, obviously, this is an offense that can heat up and get to scoring and give folks opportunities to at least be fantasy relevant. So if you can get flyers on anybody that you feel super confident in, go for it. I think P. Ryan's one that's likely someone that is wildly cheap and people are not expecting anything from, because Carson still being the unknown, people might be like, I'm a little less likely to hold on to him. Or, hey, you're really going to have to give me that second if you really want to see Carson still on your roster. So I think P. Ryan may be the flyer that I would be most steady about.
I totally agree with that last thing, because P. Ryan's going to be a lot, maybe not a lot, but cheaper than Steele. Like, people are going to be excited because Steele's a young guy. And there was, you know, a lot of kind of waiver buzz, you know, around him in the preseason about picking him up, and that if you didn't already have him on your roster. So I kind of think this is probably just going to be a mess until Pacheco gets back. So I'm not super interested, but you could probably get P. Ryan for like a third, because people just be happy that they can get anything for P. Ryan. So I wouldn't mind that. But I also do tend to think that of any of them, if anyone's going to take a significant role, it probably actually is going to be P. Ryan, because he is a vet, because they're a team going for a Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to want to have, you know, unless Carson Steele just starts doing ridiculous things, I don't want to think they're going to have him be the main guy there. So, I agree. P. Ryan would be the flyer, but I kind of think what's going to happen is none of them, including Hunt, and Hunt probably will be mixed in, and none of them will be any good for fantasy most weeks, is my guess.
Yeah. I just want to put out there that there was a trade yesterday in one of the Trade Addicts leagues where Carson Steele went for a third and a fourth. So I don't think any of these guys are valuable. I completely forgot. I think, Frank, when you were reading the news, you said it yourself, where P. Ryan's going to be like Jet McKinnon. Like, remember when Pacheco's rookie year came in, it was very split. Pacheco was the rusher, McKinnon was the catcher. Like, this is what's going to happen again. P. Ryan's going to be the pass catcher. Steele is going to be the rusher. It's going to be very, very split. And honestly, Kareem Hunt's probably just a veteran presence who can understand the playbook. He'll get on the field. He'll touch the ball, but I don't think he's going to steal touches from anyone. Like, I don't think he matters as much as people are probably worried about. But
Carson Steele touches.
I appreciate you, Rocky. I appreciate you.
Sorry, I had to.
Yeah, no, it's good. No, just a couple things on that. I think it sounds like Steele's going to get the first shot at this, but Hunt's, you know, there as a running presence if he doesn't do well. I think this is good for Mahomes, because Mahomes hasn't been playing super well. I mean, he's, you know, 13 or 14 points the first 2 weeks. I think this is pass heavy now, and I think it could be good for, you know, someone like Worthy, who could catch a couple screens and be the running game.
In someone like Travis Kelce, who just needs to start catching.
Seriously, he's been a ghost.
So much Kelce.
all right, we'll burn through the rest of these all at once. So Cup out extended period of time. I think he's on IR now, right? I think he was a candidate as of this morning. I don't think I updated this. McCaffrey's on IR. Debo will miss a few weeks. AJ Brown will miss a few weeks. Marshawn Lloyd is on IR. Evan Ingram hamstring injury will miss a few weeks. And then we'll do the two positive ones to end it. Mixon had an ankle injury on a hip drop tackle. He's apparently questionable for this week, but apparently he's, you know, not on IR, which is great. And then Jefferson had his quad injury. Apparently he probably could have played if they like really, really needed him, if this was like a playoff game, but he's day-to-day. He seems fine. He says he's fine. So I'm going to trust him until otherwise. So I guess as you guys look in the grand scheme of this, and J-Mike, you can start, you know, is there anyone you're looking at? Is Ayuk like the number one wide receiver in, you know, or a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy until McCaffrey and Debo are back? Rocky, I'm interested in your opinion on the Eagles, but we'll start with J-Mike. J-Mike, what do you take away from all these injuries? What are you buying? What are you selling?
Madden curse lives on, unfortunately.
It's real. Yep.
lives on. Having CMC on a team doesn't feel great right now. I think you're excited for the Jordan Mason experience, mm-hmm. As long as you're going to be able to ride that. I think the more fascinating piece of that is how people view Jordan Mason forward focus. So how folks value the valuation of Jordan Mason, what you can do if you have him on your team and maybe you're not a team that's that is competing. I think it's fascinating to be able to figure out what kind of bidding war, especially early on. It's the importance of being early to market with him. Now, I think that's probably the most fascinating piece of San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk, you just love to be able to see him look anything like he did last season and not dropping passes and being silly in that instance. So yes, you think Ayuk's going to come back to life at some point. But I think more than anything, I'm excited about what Kittle and Jordan Mason are doing right now. And I like Ayuk a lot, but I need him to actually show up this season. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Kittle giving us a scare also.
Yeah.
But thankfully, just
that was an IV, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, yeah. He was just getting an IV. He's fine.
Hey, drink water. Come on now.
Yeah, and I picked up Mason for a second in the league before McCaffrey went on IR, so I'm feeling pretty good about that right now. In regards to A.J. Brown, it's kind of a mystery even around here. We're not really sure. We haven't heard much beyond what you guys have probably heard, which was the report that came out during Monday night that he's going to miss a couple weeks. No one's really sure how serious it is, listening to the beat reporters and stuff. I think what likely may happen, and maybe this could change if they lose to the Saints next week after that horrible loss last night, but I believe their bye is week 5.
Yes.
So my guess is he sits out until week 6. That's what I think. A hamstring injury, those can be tricky. I don't think they're going to want to risk it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I admittedly didn't watch
Hubby or Coey.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's the guy? Is it Covey? Is it Dotson? Like, I admittedly didn't watch the game. Yeah. Super Clovely.
We all thought it was going to be Dotson around here, but yeah, if you watch the game, it was kind of Covey looked decent out there. Yeah. He's been their punt returner.
And then he takes his helmet off and he looks like a high schooler.
Yes. But he's been their punt returner for the last couple of years. And he's, you know, he was wide receiver in name only. But then, you know, last night happened. So I still think it's probably going to be Dotson. You know, a third rounder is not an insignificant investment. So I'm not sure what happened. I mean, the whole offense wasn't great last night, outside of maybe Covey and Saquon until that last non-catch.
And Saquon, of all people. Like,
yes, he catches that 99 times out of 100. It's killer. Anyway, so I still think it's going to be Dotson. Like I said, I don't know what happened last night, but I think that's what you're going to see. And, I mean, they don't seem to be – even with A.J. Brown out, trying to involve Goddard that much, who got like nothing until the last like couple minutes. So, yeah, I think we'll see more from Dotson than we saw last night. And I guess Covey may have earned some more time, but I wouldn't expect much from him fantasy-wise.
All the Devonta Smith, baby. That's all I'm saying. All the Devonta Smith.
Oof. That's all my news, guys.
I'm terrified for Matt Stafford.
I was just thinking
that. Me too. Because their line is dog water. It's bad.
And Hurts. They lost 3 of them. Like, yeah. So, like, it's really funny where in TradeAddX 2, we're going to talk about one of a trade I made, and I'll talk about why I was doing it. But I had to stop what I was doing because I was going to end up leaving myself with Stafford as my QB2, and I don't feel safe with that right now. Like, with both of those wide receivers out and 3 missing offensive linemen, I don't want to start him.
Yeah. No, it's bad. Kyren looked terrible on Sunday. I mean, Kyren's not even playing well. That whole offense is poison right now. I'm not selling it, but I don't really want to start it, to your point. Yeah. So
Kyren's going to get in that starting lineup every single week anyway, and it's going to hurt me every single week, but I'm not going to not start him because when I don't, he'll go nuts.
It's just way too many touches to not.
Yes.
Right? When you're getting all the work, the guy that they said is interchangeable for you is not touching the field until the very end of the game. Quorum's
been a non-factor, yeah.
Like, this is you've Kyren's run out thus far in terms of usage alone. Forget the periphery of it. Just in usage, you are hitting a grand slam in terms of expectations of what you could have hoped for in these first 2 weeks. So that's a win for sure.
All right. Well, Frank, thank you for the news.
Thank you, Frank.
Get out of here. Oh, wow. He's here really quickly. Bye, Frank. All right. We are at that point where I don't like making decisions, so I'm going to put it on the guest. J. Mike, do you want to do listener questions or Trade Addicts trades?
I'm not answering that. Rocky, you want to do Trade Addicts questions? I mean, Trade Addicts trades, or you want to do questions?
J. Mike, putting it on me. Let's do the questions first and finish up with the trades.
Very smart man not pushing it back on me, because I would have put it right back on someone else.
Typical hijacking of host duties. I apologize.
Yes.
And what's really funny is, Frank leaves, and the first question is Frank's. He should have just stayed here and read his question. And we have Corey in the chat who was willing to take the grenade for us, and he says questions. So there you go. We're doing some questions. Man. Frank in the chat. We've had three players play well above expectations: Sam Darnold, J.K. Dobbins, and Alvin Kamara. In these situations, do you try to sell on the hype or ride the wave? I'll read the second part after, because it was part of my second question. Before we get into the actual question of this, even if Bryce Young does get benched, does what going on with Sam Darnold give you a little bit hope for Bryce Young's career, at least? Like, you get drafted that early, usually you keep getting shots. Like, I'm not even talking Baker, because, like, he stuck it out. He was the starter for, what you know, his contract and everything, and then moved on and had better success. But, like, Sam Darnold is, what, 3-4 teams in at this point and just kept getting shots? So, and Bryce Young's better than this. Like, he just is. So, hoping that everything goes well for that man in the future. Okay, but so, yes, what do you do with players who are maybe lightning in a bottle, maybe good for this season? We don't know. What are you doing with these guys, J. Mike?
I would love to just be able to touch on the Bryce Young piece of this briefly. I think when you... I love that call out, Russ. And I think the only thing that makes me nervous is when we think back to Sam Darnold, one of his endearing qualities is that coaches continue to be gravitated to. Sneaky good athlete. Mm. That's what they say, right? And big arm, right?
Yeah.
Someone who's got a strong arm will hang in the pocket even to his detriment. I think the thing that makes me nervous in terms of what I feel like Bryce Young's ceiling may be lower than I would have hoped is we're not looking at a guy with a huge arm. We're not looking at a guy that's at this point done a lot with his legs at this level, aside from in at times run for his life. And we're not looking at a guy who really is shown better than what other people thought would be an issue with his height. So all of the things that the naysayers were saying about Bryce, they're all proving true right now. And it's not like he's going to be able to overcome with a big arm, being able to run all over the place and do all of those things. So Sam Darnold's trump card, I think, is one of the things that kept earning him opportunities, even when he looked awful. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out with Bryce in terms of, okay, your processing and your escapability, your creativity were the calling cards for you. And both of those things are not there right now. And so I think that's what's most scary. Sorry. I had to get that off my chest.
No,
being someone who was like, hey, Bryce Young 101 over everything.
Yep.
Mea culpa. That feels real bad right now.
I do think he will get that second chance if the Panthers don't really do get out on him. But like J. Mike was saying, maybe he doesn't get the third and fourth and fifth chance that Sam Darnold got.
Do you try to sell him the hype or ride the wave when we're thinking Darnold, Dobbins, Kamara? Yes. Yeah. Like, who's on a bigger heater right now than the Saints?
Right.
Like, this is if you're having an Alvin Kamara swan song, and with people having the stat that ran around last year in terms of his career numbers versus Christian McCaffrey's career numbers. I forgot that tweet or that graphic that was going around, I think, sometime last year, where their numbers were, I don't know if they were identical, but they were pretty similar in terms of their career, number of touches, number of yards rushing, all of that. And if the offense is going to look this good and everything is going to run through Kamara, it's really difficult for me to say that you move on from that. Dobbins is one that makes me nervous because he's living on long runs, which is great. He's not living on, even though Gus Edwards has not been good, he still hasn't dusted him yet. Mm-hmm. So Dobbins is probably one I'd be a little bit quicker to move off of. And Darnold with functional KOC and Justin Jefferson, and hopefully whenever Jordan Addison comes back, all of a sudden Darnold looks competent, but that's not something that we've been able to say for long stretches of his career. So Kamara is probably the one that I'm most excited to be able to just kind of ride out this season and see how things go. But also I'm somewhat coming around on, hey, let's hang on to Darnold and see how, if you've got the best wide receiver in football, what kind of heater can we run here with this season?
I'm going to echo some of what J. Mike said. Kamara especially. I mean, if you had him on your roster coming into the season, you probably were hoping to contend anyway. So I'm just going to ride that out. He's worth more on my roster. I don't know that anyone, even another contender, is giving you a first for Kamara at this point. So in that case, he's worth more on my roster, unless I'm already not contending. And Darnold, I'd be okay. I would assume if you have Darnold on your roster, it's probably not something you were depending on. And I do remember, I think it was the Panthers, he had like a really good first month of the season a couple of years ago. Yeah. And then was Sam Darnold after that. So he does have better weapons. But I think I'd still be looking to get out on Darnold at this point if I could. And I'm just so happy to see what J.K. Dobbins is doing. I've been the biggest Dobbins stan forever. So I just... Dobbins is sort of the equivalent of my Ridley or Higgins for Russ or Russ's Dobbins. So I have to ride the wave with Dobbins. I have way too much of him, and I agree. He hasn't been getting like crazy usage so far, but the talent has always been there. The concern was just these two major injuries he's had in his career, one last year. And I guess that's always going to be a concern that, is he injury prone? Is it going to happen again? Something. But I just believe in the talent so much. And now it's shining through to some extent in the usage he's getting. So I got to ride the wave.
Yeah. The real question now, I don't think, is if you have these guys on your team. The question is, if you don't, do you go after them? Because it's such an easy answer of, well, if you're competing, you ride it, right? Because you want these points. I think the tough situation is, like, if you're competing and these guys are on teams that, it's a little early, but like, all right, these they're 0-2, and it's not just because of one injury. It's not just because of McCaffrey and stuff like that. Like, these teams are bad and they happen to have Darnold and Dobbins and Kamara on it. Do you go after them? Do you get them on your competing team? I think the answer is yes on all three of them, but absolutely price dependent and absolutely Sam Darnold as your QB3. I will say I did go after Sam Darnold in one league, and it's because I only have one starting quarterback. Thankfully, it's Kyler after what he did this week, which hopefully no one out there benched Marvin Harrison Jr. Just saying. I think I sent a second for all of these players and feel absolutely fine about it. I think the one thing that will hold J.K. Dobbins back from ever being the guy anywhere is that he has no long speed. That after that dude takes like 10 to 15 strides, he's getting caught up with every single time. Like, we saw it from when he first came back from this injury, and we're still seeing it now. Like, I think that might be gone from his game. Mm-hmm. But I still, if he can not get hurt again, there's no reason he can't handle the volume, and there should be volume. And he is really outplaying Gus Edwards, like really, yes. Really, yeah. Really outplaying him. So I think it's a matter of time before he does get the touches. I think that's the bigger part of this, is what to do if you don't have them. And I would guilt-free send a second for any of these guys.
Would you send a first for any of them?
Now, no. If Kamara is doing a fraction of what he's doing now for the next 6 weeks, I will send my competing first for Alvin Kamara to try and win, because winning is worth it. And especially if I believe it's going to be the 112 anyway. I guess the same really does go for Dobbins. Probably goes more for Dobbins because he's younger. And how crazy is it? 2017, right? Like, you were talking about Kamara and McCaffrey. Like, these guys have been in 7 years already. It's crazy to think about that.
To your point, Russ, as far as kind of what you give up to acquire these players, if a second's not, I'm not sure how many folks are going to be willing to move them for a second, simply because if these players are on their team, they're most likely players that people who believed in them to some degree.
Yeah.
And so I think Visions of Grandeur is what we'd be dealing with in this sense. So yes, if you can give a second to get them, great, but I'm just curious that if that's even the case where you'd be able to give that up to get them, or you'd have to come up with more. But moreover, I wanted to ask you guys, without looking, unless you already know, can you tell me how old Sam Darnold is?
Oh, he came into the league young, right? So he's probably still in his late 20s.
Yeah, I was going to say like 26, 27.
Sam Darnold is 27 years old.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold does not turn 28 until June next year.
Wow.
He's lived a lot of life in his career thus far. It's just, I saw that and I was like, that doesn't even seem right. 27, that's it? Wow.
It's like the next Matt Stafford. That dude came into the league at 12. And whew. All right, so the next part was my question at the end of my tweet was, what's your favorite holiday celebration or party? I think I used the word party. And Frank says, I'm not sure if it counts as a party, but I love Friendsgiving because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. That absolutely does count, by the way, because I knew someone was going to bring up Thanksgiving dinner. And I get that that's not a party, but like it is, you know, that's still. And Friendsgiving even more absolutely counts, which is something I haven't done as much as I would have liked. But whenever I have, it's been great. So I'm a big fan of Friendsgiving. And yes, that absolutely counts. And we'll get into our answers for that later on. Next question we have, Zach, I want to know, what are the markers that you are all looking at when you're evaluating your team after the first 2 weeks? And what types of moves are you contemplating on contending teams? What about rebuilders? And why is it so damn important to move early? You know what? Okay, I'm just going to go. Because it's really funny. Like, deciding when you're competing is turning into the new age discrepancy when it comes to trade value. You know, it used to be when a player's 30, they're done. So let's get out on 29. And then all of a sudden it's, well, they're 28, which means it's almost 29. So I need to get out at 28 because their value is going to dip at 29. And now all of a sudden a wide receiver is 26 and he's old. Like, we keep going like a year earlier, a year earlier, a year earlier. And running backs, my God, like, again, like I've told the story 100 times on this show, but my very first dynasty league, a team's name was Born is Too Old. And it took me a year to understand it. And then it was the funniest thing I've ever heard because like, again, we just keep going like, oh, you're a 25-year-old running back. You're old. Forget it. Like, what? And especially now with these 2017 running backs that we're talking about, but like, week four used to be the answer. Week four used to be, this is when you decide whether you are competing or not. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, you now need to decide week three because you want to get you want to be ahead of everyone else. And to answer the later questions first, why is it important to move early? It's because you want to set the market. You want to be the first person. You want to be the first person to grab a competing player for a second before everyone else is like, oh, wait, no, I want to compete. So I want, like, you don't want to be part of those bidding wars. You want to be that first person to start grabbing those few players before everyone else realizes what you're really doing. Like, that's why you want to be early. And we might be at the point where week two might need to be where you make that decision at this point. Like, I'm not there yet, like, because I'm looking at a lot of my teams, and especially this year where it's so weird with all of the injuries and everything. But what are you looking for when it comes to evaluating, you know, after 2 weeks? I'll say the same thing I always say. They moved stuff in MFL, so I don't remember where stuff is anymore. But there's scores to power rank. And on MFL, I don't know Sleeper at all. But that gives you so much league view information. It's not just your team. It gives you your total points for, total potential points, which is what your best lineup would be. Your efficiency at setting your lineup, which I hate looking at because mine is always really low. The most points you score, the least points you scored, the amount of games you could have won if you set the right lineup, the amount of games you would have lost if someone else set the right lineup. And then it gives you a couple of ways. There's two different power rankings, and then it's the all-play record. You know, what your score is versus the rest of the league every single week. Like, there's so many things to look at there to try and figure out. Like, yeah, I'm too, like, here, I have TAA up, TA8 up right now. And there's a team that's 2-0 whose all play record is below 500. Like, yeah, they're 2-0, but are they 2-0? You know, it's one of those things where you need to have the bigger scale picture. It's not just, did I win? Did I play a good or bad team? It's what's the rest of the league doing as well. And that's really all the things you have to try and consider. But one of the biggest things you have to consider is how many teams are competing in your league. Because you find in a lot of leagues, especially in certain TA6 leagues where there's a couple of juggernaut, notice how I did not actually pluralize juggernaut, where there's so many rebuilding teams because it's tough to compete, where it's just like, why not just try anyway? Because all you got to do is limp into the playoffs and there's three teams that don't belong there anyway. So why not give it a try? So I wish there was an easy answer. There is no easy answer to any of these questions. And I'll let you guys talk on though what kind of moves you're making, because I think we're all going to have extremely similar answers. And since I spewed words for the past 16 minutes, I'll let someone else go next.
Okay. I'll go first if J-Mike doesn't mind. For the record, if I hadn't lost in the semifinals, I would have taken down J-Mike in TA6 because I did set a lineup and I scored more than J-Mike. So I just wanted to point that out.
But, so you lost. You didn't do it.
I had a down week the week before. But anyway, my answer is kind of similar to some of what you were saying in there, because I'm not really doing that after 2 weeks. I'm coming into the season with 95% of my teams thinking they are a contender or they're not a contender. And 2 weeks likely isn't going to change my mind. I've talked about this many times before. The first month of the season, I tend to be way more conservative in believing. And we had Zach on recently. He talked about acting early. And I do agree with that to some extent. But I still, maybe it's just because I'm an old man, I don't know. But I just still tend to be conservative on really buying in on most guys at this point in terms of acquiring anybody. And I'm also conservative in terms of, Kelsey started poorly, Andrews has started poorly, guys like that, I believe they'll come around, or I at least want to see more before I decide, like, okay, this is what the season's going to be. So if after 2 weeks, I'm not ready to make a major move either way. So I don't really know that I could answer most of Zach's questions, because it's just kind of not my style at this point. I'm like what you said, Russ. I'm not moving it up. So yeah. I'd rather wait a little more. Like I said, I already had a belief coming in 2 weeks of, especially this year, 2 weeks of extremely bizarre historically football is not going to change my mind on what I thought my team was coming in.
Real quick, J-Mike, before you start going, I want to just put out there, we fact checked, and yes, Rocky is an old man.
Yes.
Appreciate
Rocky, Rocky is not 27.
I appreciate the boots on the ground. Really making sure we've got the facts here. That's good news. Good news. Golly, I love Zach Reed so much. Truly, that is a dear brother of mine. He's so smart, and he always asks fantastic questions. Russ, I love all of what you've said, Rocky. I am 100% in the same boat when it comes to contending teams. I tend to move slower on contending teams because you don't want to be the person that gives up the first, what you think is going to be a late first for Nick Chubb, and he blows his knee out in week 6 or whatever it was last year. Those are the things that feel really bad. So first to market for me is typically for rebuilds. And as dear friend John Hogue says, go all in on your best ideas. And as I amend or put a little asterisk to, go all in on your friend's best ideas as well. it doesn't have to be an original thought, but if it feels, if it seems as though like this, hey, this is the direction I want to go. If you are looking to rebuild, doing it early matters so much, obviously, for the market piece of it and getting out there first. But the other part of that is the goal in a rebuild is to move the players. The goal is to get rid of them. You don't want to be in the bidding war where they're picking and choosing from other rosters and you get stuck with the hot potato that you didn't want. The whole goal is to be able to extract the value as best as possible and get them out. So I'm a big proponent of being able to move players early. When you think through what type of moves are you making, I think way more about at this point in the season, earlier when we were talking about, hey, can I take that third and can I go get Samaje Perine? Can I take my third and go get Samaje Perine after week two? Maybe it pays off and maybe it doesn't, but I know that a third is typically a throwaway, but also I want to put myself in a position to be able to have dart throws specifically at the running back position for the guys who can immediately have a value spike at some point in the season with an injury. So I try to keep the wide receiver position slim and trim so I don't have to be picking through and figuring out who to choose on a week-to-week basis. And I like to ideally, for competing teams, be deeper with the running back position so that I know that in the event that there's an injury, I have players that I can tap into for, hey, maybe I only get 2 weeks of Donta Foreman, but those 2 weeks are going to be what help carry me to ideally a first round bye or a top three seed in my league or whatever the case is. So that's how I view the contending piece of it. But the rebuilding is something that I'm quick to pull the trigger on. Like, yeah, after this week, if I feel strongly enough about it.
Yes. Yes. Because competing, you're usually just rolling with what you have because you're competing and you're doing well and you make the moves if necessary. But rebuilding, chances are you're not just sitting with all these young guys waiting for them to mature. You have some pieces that you need to move around, in which case, like J. Mike says, waiting doesn't really get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. Zach continues, my favorite holiday party is Thanksgiving at Cowfish Restaurant in Universal's City Walk. I'll be there with the boys this year. Oh, that's great that you're doing your favorite thing. That's awesome. If you want to stop by for a burger or sushi or burgushi.
Hey, yo, what are we talking about?
I need, like, I'm sitting here trying to, what? Now Rocky is not gonna enjoy this conversation whatsoever, but like I'm sitting here picturing like a burger with like spicy tuna on it, like that, like spicy mayo alone on a burger sounds amazing, but I throw some tuna on there also and I'm in. That sounds great.
I don't think JMX on board.
I like sushi. Just putting those things together just makes me real nervous.
I want to try that. Well, burgushi. That is a word that someone else put out into the world, not me. So it's not my fault. All right. Our last question at RCOP17. With 2 weeks of data/games, what are some pivots or preconceived notions you're changing your opinion on? For example, player takes, offenses you're targeting, etc. Saints offense, right? That's the answer. Let's go Saints offense. Is there anything that 2 weeks has changed for you? Because I know we're talking to, you know, the old man next to me who doesn't change after 2 weeks anyway.
I actually have one for this.
Oh, nice. Good. I was just trying to like stretch for people to give an answer, but you had one already.
When I saw the question, a name came to mind. And it's not even just what he's done fantasy-wise or even yardage and stuff-wise, but the targets have stood out to me. And it's a guy I had left for dead, which is Jameson Williams. He's got 20 targets through two games. He's legit a part of that offense now. And I did not expect that coming into the season. And I don't know if that's if somehow that's hurting Laporta, that they're just funneling it to trying to funnel it to Amon-Ra and Jameson at this point. But I never saw him as a double digit target guy after his first couple of years, the way they went. So I'm not like going nuts, but I had no interest in acquiring him 3 weeks ago, and I would definitely be interested now.
Yeah, I don't really have anything that's changed much. I'm not ready to, like we've been talking this entire time, I'm not ready to make any decisions, especially because how weird this year has been, and especially like how it's going to get such a play, like it's like I'm tired of hearing myself say it, how week one is pretty much preseason week four. Like week one doesn't seem to matter all that much anymore. So this really just was week one. So give us another week or two and then we can start making decisions. Like I'm not ready to, you know, hang Travis Kelce out to dry. I'm not ready to panic on Sam Laporta. I'm a little ready to panic on Sam Laporta because we have seen that why it's happening. And you're right. All of these Jameson Williams targets went to Laporta last year. And maybe they are just, these defenses are keying in on Laporta more now. I don't know. I don't watch tape well enough to understand that or anything. I don't really have anything like, because this also ties back to Frank's question where like, what do you do with these guys that are showing out? Do you consider it real? And it usually just turns into, did I think it was real in the first place? And am I like confirmation bias? That's the phrase I couldn't think of for a second. I will allow this to be confirmation bias, but I'm not going to change my mind because of it, which I don't know if that's the right answer, but that just happens to be the answer. And Trader Joe in the chat saying just sold Kelce for a second and third. I mean, that's realistic. Like that's, if you want to get out, that's a price you get out on.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one player that I thought I was pretty out on, and it's kind of one of those situations where, hey, he might cook all year long. Chris Godwin.
Yes.
I was ready to, finally. Yeah, I was kind of ready to put him out to pasture and just be move on. And I was never really big on Chris Godwin, but how he started his season has been positive so far. So I may be changing my tune a bit and maybe in that offense altogether, because even Baker without Canales so far, Baker's playing really good football right now. So yep. That's good to see. I think one in the opposite direction where I'm changing my tune on is the Tennessee offense, mainly because Will Levis, Wildcat. I think this is when we let the Nittany Lions have him. Like, no, he's your guy. Y'all had him first. If he's doesn't get it together, then that obviously brings down what you would have hoped for, a pretty dynamic season from, unfortunately, an ailing Hopkins right now, and obviously whatever the revival of Russ's boy Calvin Ridley. So I think those are spots where I'm way more tepid on Tennessee now, and yeah. I'm not really scared of Godwin at this point, and kind of want to get back in on that train at this point.
Yeah, but I need Godwin to calm down a little bit for my Mike Evans shares.
I mean, I'm just saying, golly.
Like you guys could coexist, please. Yeah. He did not think so this game. It was all Chris Godwin. Like, and don't get me wrong, like I said, I love seeing it. Like he was part of the reason I started to love Penn State pass catchers, him and Allen Robinson. The both of them, when they came out, I was just such huge fans. And I hate that it takes 8 years to happen, but it's happening. It's here. Let's go. And then he says, I've got some friends that throw a great Christmas party 2 weeks before Christmas every year. And I love that one. That's an interesting idea to, like, you know, Friendsgiving is usually what, like the day before, the day after, like it's usually very, very close. But to like have one like weeks different, like that sounds like the move to do, where no one's stressing insanely just yet about it with their family. So you can actually enjoy the party with your friends. I like that idea. I might have to try and figure something out with that. I like that. All right. So now it's your turn. Rocky, what is your favorite holiday party?
I don't really have any strong feeling on this, but when I saw the question, I guess what comes to mind for me is kind of probably New Year's Eve, in large part because I'm lazy and we always do it at my house. Nice. we have my parents and my in-laws over who live like 10, each live 10 minutes away in different directions. And I have four kids who are all getting older now. They loved it when they were little. They still enjoy it now. Now we play games and get some pizza and have Ryan Seacrest on in the background and stay up till midnight. And it's a fun time. So, and we've been doing that probably for like 6-7 years in a row now. So that would be what it is for me.
J. Mike.
I'm I think my initial answer is the Christmas party from The Office. That's a very fun episode, or many fun episodes of the actual show The Office. Those Christmas parties are the best. my actual answer, I think, is just I love Thanksgiving time. I love how positive I feel like everybody is during that time, and people take a step back to be grateful and thankful and complain less, which I appreciate a lot. So I think Thanksgiving with family, and even when I have those times with friends, I love that time so much. It's a sweet time of folks actually leaning into gratefulness.
Yes.
Plus football.
Come on now. Come on. Preach.
FF Trader Joe in here saying Ludo Christmas. I'm rewatching 30 Rock right now, and that's where that's from. Mine's not specific. It's more, it's give me summer. I don't like summer. I legitimately don't, but give me a barbecue with some ice cream. You sit outside with a beer in your hand and a burger in the other. And, you know, like that's always more relaxing than anything else that has to be indoors. Like when you can split it between indoors and outdoors, it's always more relaxing.
So like, choose your own adventure route. Do you want to be inside in the AC, or do you really want to sweat and enjoy that?
Sometimes like it's great to be like, we don't really do Father's Day or anything. Well, we're not at the point where Father's Day is about me yet. Let's put it that way, you know. But like my dad used to have it where Father's Day, he'd be outside grilling pretty much by himself the entire time, and he would say that was his favorite holiday because he gets to stand out there, grill, and not pay attention to anything in the world, just sit out there and stare at the clouds while flipping burgers. And I'm just like, you're a weird man, Dad. And now I'm old, and I'm like, oh, I get it. It was me. He was getting away from me. All right, I got it, Dad. Yeah, but like that's really my favorite. But I will say, I don't like fireworks. I don't get it. It's not my jam. It causes more problems than it does good for anything. It's just not my thing. I don't like fireworks. But that all unfortunately comes along with every single summer holiday around here. All right, let's get on to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And we have a TA1 trade. We have Puka Nacua and Kendre Miller for Blake Corum, Jalen McMillan, and a 26 first. So Puka for a first. Like, I saw this trade and I'm just like, dang. I wish that was me. Of course, I don't have my 26 first, so not like it would have happened or anything, because I never have my picks anywhere. But like, is anyone not on? Like, I don't care if you're competing, and you there's no points on the other side of this. Like, why sell Puka for a 26 first?
Yeah, he's beyond the point where he's worth just a first. I don't think I'd sell him for 25 first, dude, but I don't care that he's injured or whatever. I mean, the dude's in his second year, balling out, and I don't get why you'd want to get out. Like you said, if it was the injury, get some points back. I mean, I guess you could flip the 26 first for something, but I would need a 25 first plus Steve, and think about it.
Yeah, this is. I'm leaning Puka here as well. Puka's just become one of those guys that wins at every level, and I'm just trying to put myself in the other person's shoes. Where okay, maybe you think, hey, maybe this is Stafford's last year, and maybe Puka is not as effective, or I don't know. Maybe just trying. What's the doomsday scenario? But otherwise, Puka's that guy. He's so stinking good.
I mean, let's just jump straight to the TA7 trade, because we have another Puka trade, and at least this time it's Puka straight for Mark Andrews in a 26 first.
Oh, this is fun. This is fun.
So, okay, keep going, J-Mike.
I'm probably going Puka Nacua. That doesn't feel great to say, because I really like all of this. I think this is a really fun trade. I think that the value feels good with two premier value players at their positions. And we've had plenty of not necessarily debates, but Rocky's on one side of the future first fence. I'm on the other side of the future first fence. I see future first as equal. Rocky kind of demotes them years out, which I totally get, and it makes sense. I don't get upset with that in the least bit in terms of that position. But when I see Andrews in the first, like, okay, he's not going to be as bad as he's been. And if, as long as he's not dust and gets back to being someone who's actually commanding consistent targets in Baltimore, that could be really fun. But I just like who Puka Nacua has shown to be last year, and even what he started doing this year when he wasn't even at 100%, what he was doing in that first game still was good stuff. So I think I'm going Puka.
I think I still lean Puka here too, but this makes so much more sense to me than that last trade. Like,
yes,
in theory, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, Mark Andrews has gotten off to a bad start, but in theory, you're getting points and you're getting a future piece with it to make up for giving up the young guy in Puka.
Yep.
So I get this one away more. And I do think Andrews is going to turn it around. I don't think he's going to be, you know, this bad all year, but I just, yeah, I'm with J Mike. I think Puka is that guy. I came on board with that pretty fast last year, and he's, you know, he's what, like a second round startup pick at this point. I just need a little more than that.
Yeah. And I'm sure the person who traded away Puka is thinking the same thing. Man, I wish that was a 25 first. Like, if that was a 25 first, to me, that would have been like on point. Like, that would have been perfect. But again, this is exactly like what Rocky said. This is beautiful. This is give me the points. Give me the first for giving that huge age difference. Huge age. Well, it's probably like 6-7 years. Maybe.
I just looked. Andrews is 29. I'm not sure what Puka is.
He's probably 22, 23 ish. So. Yeah, like, again, I wish it was a 25 first, but even that it's not, because, like J. Mike is saying, he doesn't even see a difference. I do. Time is money, baby. Time is, you know, it matters. but still, this is one of those things where if I wanted this deal to get done and I couldn't trade Puka to a couple of other teams, I would take it anyway, even though it is a 26 and not a 25. So I completely get it. Would I rather be a 25, and would that make me feel a whole lot better? Yes. Yes, it would. But it's the Puka side for me, but again, I get it. I like this trade at least. Like, this makes sense. I like it. All right, but let's move back to Trade Addicts 2, where I traded Jordan Addison to a certain Rockaford Petrella for Kirk Cousins. So Jordan Addison for Kirk Cousins.
That means, Jay Mike, you have to comment on this first.
Yep.
Man, and Jordan Addison, I'm a Jordan Addison stan. But I think that I still go Kirk Cousins here, and I think it's for what occurred last night, what occurred on Monday night. This is a guy that's going to be in an offense, ideally for at least the next – ideally this season, next season, who knows what happens thereafter. But a guy who's got weapons around him, and if they're able to get that running game going and they're not playing the Pittsburgh Steelers – in week one, and everyone being really nervous about, oh, Kirk Cousins can't move, Kirk Cousins can't stride out. Well, he had no space to do any of those things in week one. But when he had a little space, time to operate, we're seeing a player that that is a difference maker, and a guy that has consistently been a later or fringe, or excuse me, QB1, and someone that's going to be a consistent producer for your team. So I'm going Kirk Cousins, even though I still love me some Jordan Addison. I think the Kirk Cousins is a side that I prefer to have in this instance.
So I was just some context. I am rebuilding in TA2, and Kirk Cousins, the 35-year-old Kirk Cousins, I'm not sure exactly his age, is on my roster still. I do have Burrow. Unfortunately, my QB2 is Watson, who looks like he's never going to be the same again and is now having more legal issues. So that's great. But still, I was happy to get value for a 35-year-old quarterback in a team where I don't, you know, Michael Penix might be the quarterback by the time I'm competing. So I'm getting there. I made some big trades in the offseason. So maybe it could have been next year that I start competing, but I was also pretty empty at the wide receiver position. I don't have a lot there either. So it just made a lot of sense. I don't care that Addison's hurt. I don't care that he's not getting a, because I don't believe in Darnold, that he's not getting a real quarterback possibly next till next year, depending on what you think of J.J. McCarthy. So I'm willing to punt this year, even if Jordan Addison doesn't produce a lot. But and like you said, I still love him a lot anyway. You know, he balled out last year at times, showed big, big flashes. And, yeah, I'm still a believer. So I just wanted to – it was the old for the young, and it made a lot of sense to me.
Before we get into my side of it, because it's convoluted, Corey in the chat is saying, 14-team super flex, start 10. He's pretty stacked at wide receiver. Would you give up Garrett Wilson and Jordan Addison to get Marvin Harrison Jr.? I would.
I'm not – the 14 team is making me hesitate a little bit there.
I'm still willing to do it just to get that stud who we've seen – we saw this week that Marvin Harrison Jr. absolutely can be.
What's the value tier that you have – Marvin Harrison Jr. and Russ?
I mean, he's wide receiver, what, four or five at this point? Of course, Garrett Wilson is six or seven, don't get me wrong. And like Frank is saying, I'm not done with Wilson yet either, but we have a year or two of insulation on Marvin Harrison Jr.'s value. This is it for Garrett Wilson. If this year does not go well, his value, like, he's not going to drop to nothing, but he's going to drop to wide receiver 18 from wide receiver 6 or 7. Like, he's going to take that DJ Moore dip. Like, we love DJ Moore. We love DJ Moore. He's going to be a thing. Oh, man, it's year 3 or 4, and he's not a thing? All right, let's drop him down. But, like, we're not going to get rid of him because we still believe he can do it if the situation were right. Like, it's exactly, like, what we are looking at. And I think we're stuck in that same exact spot. Now, do I believe Wilson is good enough to transcend? I absolutely do. Will it happen on the Jets? I mean, I'm willing to give Rodgers more time because I'm giving Cousins more time. Like, I loved watching the game yesterday and watching Cousins move better as the game went on. It's not even a from one game to the next. It's from one quarter to the next. He was looking more comfortable as it went as he went on. I think it's a safe move to do that. And don't get me wrong, I really also am on the Jordan Addison bandwagon. This trade wasn't easy for me to send. I just knew it would get done because I saw the position Rocky's team was in. And I knew it would get done. And all right, let's just move over to what my position was. I was trying to get a deal for Sam Laporta and Rashee Rice. And this guy wasn't moving off of Laporta unless he had a good quarterback coming back, a good dynasty quarterback coming back to him. And on my team is Bo Nix, Matt Stafford, and Brock Purdy. So I'm like, all right. I tried first with this guy to give him, see if I can use Nix because he's young and whatever, but he wasn't having it. So I'm like, all right, I can't deal Purdy on my competing team and roll out Stafford and Nix. So let me go get another quarterback. So that's what I did. I went and I traded Addison to get Kirk Cousins so I could then move Purdy. But then the Cooper Kupp injury and the three offensive linemen, and I'm like, well, crap. I don't want to start Matt Stafford now. So like, oops. Well, I guess this protected me from having to start Stafford anyway.
But now I have four quarterbacks. There you go.
Yeah. So that's what really led to all of this trade that was harder than it should have been for what it ended up turning not into because of all of the Stafford stuff. I thought it was a fun story because, you know, we talk often about cascading trades.
Yes.
But it's not often we really get to talk about the thought process behind them. And I just thought it would be fun to actually show what I was trying to do and why I was trying to do it.
Love that.
All right. We have our last trade from Trade Addicts 4. Ugh, this is another me trade. Jaden Daniels and Kyle Pitts for Trevor Lawrence and a 25 and 26 first. This was done before the weekend. Just to put some sort of context on it, I guess.
At this point, does anybody have Trevor Lawrence ahead of Jaden Daniels in Dynasty?
Nope.
All right, give me the Daniels and Pitt side, please. 25 and 26 first is fun. Like you like that. You like to be able to get that. I just feel really queasy about Trevor Lawrence and what his prospects are going forward. This just feels like a big old bag of no bueno right now in Jacksonville. And I think it's the inconsistency that is really driving the train of what makes you feel awful. Now, again, inconsistency, we're talking about Kyle Pitts. And that's certainly the case, too. But with what Jaden Daniels has shown you in 2 weeks, even though he hasn't thrown for a touchdown, he's showing you the ceiling, really the floor, of course. And Zach Reed's one who's highlighted frequently about the rushing floor that QBs give. But we're already seeing a guy who can come in and be a fringe QB1 this season. And obviously, if they can get the horizontal offense, the horizontal raid, as they call it, in Washington, squared away with Cliff Kingsbury, I'm excited for what could be for Jaden Daniels. So, yeah, give me the Daniels and Pitt side, and I feel really good about riding that throughout the season.
Yeah, I have to go to the Daniels and Pitt side, too. I don't like giving up both picks. For largely a quarterback, because I'm still not sure what I think of Pitts at this point. I was hoping this would be the year, and it's the early returns aren't great. But, I mean, the way I'm looking at it, I mean, Lawrence in a 25 first seems fair for Daniels. Because, again, Franken in the chat says, I feel like I'm done with Trevor. He hasn't gotten better. I don't even know if I have any Lawrence shares anymore, but I'm with him. I think he is what he is, and he's meh. So, and then a 26 first for Pitts, I think still seems fair at this point. 2 years out, still some hope there. I mean, he's still only what, like 24 at this point,
probably.
Kyle Pitts. Yeah, some ridiculous young age. So, there's still hope there. But mainly it's kind of what Jay Mike said. I wasn't as high on Daniels even coming into the season as I am now. I'm really liking what we're seeing. We knew the rushing ability was there, but it's looked really good for the first couple weeks. And I think the passing ability looks like it could take off too. It's not where it needs to be yet, but I see the promise there. So I'm kind of a big Daniels guy at this point, and Pitts is just a nice bonus piece almost in the trade for me.
Trevor Lawrence, another case of when your rookie season goes terrabad with the Urban Meyer experience and how horrendous obviously he looked in that whole situation was in year one. He's technically still rehabbing to this point, even though we thought he was probably past it. So, man, when you're in these horrifying situations as a rookie, golly, does it feel like it stunt the growth, something fierce.
So let him move on to that next team and be the next Baker. I think we need to move off of the idea of what we thought Trevor Lawrence can be. Like, this is Tua to me, which hurts a little bit.
You gonna upset somebody with that.
Because when Tua was coming into the league, like, I had not the QB1, but QB1 hopes for Tua, or top 12, if you want to, word it in those words just to make it less confusing. But we've seen Tua isn't dynamic. He is what he is because the offense was smart enough to put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle around him, and that might be what it takes for Trevor Lawrence to get pulled out of where he was. Maybe something clicks in his brain when Brian Thomas Jr. gets a little bit more acclimated and they get a better wide receiver two in there. Maybe once Evan Engram comes back, so he has two very consistent pass catchers in there. Maybe something will click a little bit, but I don't know. I want it to. I'm a very big Trevor Lawrence fan. I will say to add more context to this because I can, because it's my trade. My team's not great, and I traded away Trevor Lawrence in the picks. So, like, I was a little hesitant to trade away my two firsts. I'm regretting it a little bit because he said to me, Trevor Lawrence, 25 first, and either 26 first or Michael Pittman.
Oh, Russ.
And Russ. I just really like Michael Pittman. And I made the wrong choice. That's what I'm regretting at this point. But I was a Jaden Daniels fan coming into the season. I'm a bigger Jaden Daniels fan now. Like, he might be one of my guys now. Like, I am in. You know, I've traded for him in a couple of places. I picked up your mantle and pulled off an in-person trade with Adam Wilde at the Expo.
Saw that. Loved it.
And it was to go get Jaden Daniels. Like, that's, you know, I'm in on Jaden Daniels. So I was willing to do this trade, and I still think I believe in Kyle Pitts. And, like, everything I said about Kirk Cousins is exactly why as well. I don't think this is the Kirk Cousins we're going to see. He's going to keep getting better. And we've seen Kirk Cousins likes his tight ends. So I'm still in on Kyle Pitts. So I'm ready. I'm here for it. So I liked this trade. And plus it just happened to be one of those deals that was fun to get done, like with the back and forths that we had. So I'm good about it. I wish I didn't give up my 26 first because my team's not very good. But in my head, I'm like, I'm getting two very young players who I firmly believe in. So it's worth giving up those picks for. Plus, once this season ends, I'll have a 27 first to do something with if I want it, you know, right? Like, they keep coming back. It's fine.
And Russ, it's so interesting because it's one thing when you're just looking at the trade from, top down, and you're looking at, okay, which side would I prefer to have?
Yeah.
But then also the context of even being in your shoes, y'all know this about me, and I play this similarly in most leagues. I just don't like parting with firsts, and I definitely don't like parting with multiple firsts.
Yep.
Generally in any one given trade, unless I'm trying to cascade things, which takes me back to this past summer with our draft in TA6, and Adam Wilde went back on what an offer that we had and ended up giving up more for JJ McCarthy than I wanted to because I had plans of getting, you know what? I'm not bitter still. I'm over that. I'm over it. I went to therapy. I'm better now. I'm not going to bring it back up. Point being, giving up multiple firsts is one of those things that's really difficult for me. So when I look at it, it's like, I could probably get around to doing this because I do really like Jaden Daniels and I do really like Kyle Pitts, but I just don't, man, moving multiple firsts always doesn't feel great for me. And you obviously liking Michael Pittman and me not being a big Michael Pittman fan, I would have been like, absolutely. Here's your Michael Pittman. Go and enjoy.
I immediately realized I made the wrong decision when I made this trade. I'm like, but still, no, I'm happy about it. Like, I love the players I got, and I'm good with the, I was good with the price when I sent the offer to get accepted. So I'm not going to start stepping back on it now because why would I make myself cry? Like, that's other people's jobs. I don't need to do that to myself.
John Bosch says, never look back. Don't look back.
Never look back. Distracts you from the now, darling.
There you go.
Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Thank you so much, Mr. J. Mike, for coming on. It is always a pleasure to see your face, to hear your voice. I just appreciate you as a human being, no less as a podcast guest. So why don't you remind everyone before you head out of here who you are, hopefully what you do, and hopefully where they can find what you do when you start doing it again.
Russ, Rocky, grateful for you guys. I love that we can continue to do life together in these leagues. So thank you. Thank you for having me. I could have asked anybody to be on this evening. You asked me, and I'm grateful for it. So truly, thanks. On Twitter at JMikeCheck, I tweet every now and again, taking a step back in many areas, but plugging back in where I can, when I can. Again, one part of the Dynasty Dummies with Zach Reed. He's at Tacit Assassin 13. And again, one half of the Open Bar podcast, if we ever fire that back up, which we had talks about doing something on a less frequent basis. And we'll see how that kicks too. And again, Gabe is at FF Man Bun on Twitter, and he's not tweeting a ton these days, but still one of the brightest and smoothest on the beat that you'll find around. So yeah, that's me. Thanks again. And, yeah, here's hoping to hopefully the first four-peat in TA6 history or TA history period. So
TA history, yeah.
Yeah.
And just to put it out there, the intro, we are one of the few surviving Gabe Gearing intro podcasts. Even though
Junkies as well.
He is very unhappy with me for my little modification at the end.
Rocky.
Rocky. what was I supposed to do? I couldn't leave it. I wasn't the man super, like, he just had twins at the point. I'm not going to, like, ask him to, like, hey, man, could you real quick just record Rocky's name in there? No. Like, put the crying kids down. I don't want to hear them in the song. What are you doing, man? Come on. Like, but yes, shout out to that wonderful, beautiful human being. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record. And we also have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Other than that, fantasycares.org. Donate if you can. Hang out with us every Tuesday now that it's SFB season. We do our wrap-up show. We have our goodness giveaway where every week we give away you donate to get entered to win a jersey. This week we just gave away a Kyle Pitts signed jersey. Speaking of Mr. Kyle Pitts, this week, if you go to fantasycares.org/GG and every $5 you donate gives you an entry to win a Jake Taylor jersey from Major League, an Indians jersey with Taylor signed by Tom Bergeron, and that's the wrong Tom. It's Tom Berenger, not the America's Funniest Videos guy. It's Tom Berenger. Even wrote Jake Taylor on there, just in case you're confused why it says Taylor on the top, because it's Jake Taylor's jersey. So fantasycares.org/GG, your donation gives you an entry to win a Jake Taylor, Tom Berenger signed Indians jersey from the movie Major League. And I'm losing the ability to string words together to form sentences, so I'm going to say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Night, fellas.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.